Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. The Mortgage Voice with me, Jeff Barton, available on demand and on the air anytime you need the latest in mortgage information. Hey, you can find us immediately anytime you need us. Hey, that's the beauty of it. We're on YouTube. We upload the video version of this show every week. You can see this show as well as hundreds of others that we've done over the last 8 or 9 years. Just search for The Mortgage Voice. You can also listen to the show on demand with your mobile devices via any of our podcast partners, Apple, Google Podcasts, Spreaker, Podclips.io, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Plus, we'll still be available on traditional radio. We're in 5 different markets. Let's see, where are they? Inland Empire of Southern California, a couple of stations out there. We're in Tahoe, California, as well as Las Vegas, Nevada, and Albuquerque, New Mexico. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. And again, I'm Jeff Barton, and this is The Mortgage Voice. We talk about issues having to do with rates. We talk about issues having to do with property availability and many, many, many other things that can affect your decision. And the way that we try to focus the show is talk about what's going on nationally that can affect all these grand schemes and then get into the nitty-gritty of loan products, things that may maybe you need more than necessarily the information about the interest rates and what they're going to be over the next 6 months having to do with either COVID or any other thing. Yeah, the micro, what's going on with the loan programs. And with that, we bring on guests to the show, whether they are account executives, or whether they're loan officers, whether they're people in the industry who know a lot about the industry. We try to, again, bring it to you so that you can make better decisions make you a better buyer, better consumer. This is a specific radio show in that we don't get into a lot of other stuff other than mortgages. So if you're in the market for a house, if you're selling a house, if you're looking for answers to questions, we can help you. As soon as you buy that house, you probably won't see us for, you know, another 3 or 4 years till you buy that next house or a friend of yours needs something. But we're here and we appreciate you listening. Okay, so having to do with what's going on in the world, we have seen recently the mortgage interest rates jump by 3% over the last 6 months, and they keep going up. Now, we've seen a flattening of the yield curve, and that's, of course, where the 2-year and the 10-year bonds meet up, i.e. the yield is about the same. What that usually portends is recession. Now, we are in two camps in the people I talk to. And I talked to Connie Hernandez today on the phone. Connie's been on the show many times. She's also a broker in the Inland Empire in Southern California. Been around many, many years. Been through this before. Been around since the 80s, the last time we were in an inflationary. And I asked her, I said, what is happening with the market there in your area? And what do you foresee? And she said the same thing I said, which was, we don't know. This is a wait-and-see kind of environment that we're in, and we're waiting and seeing on several fronts. What is going to happen with the inflation rate? What is going to happen with the war in Ukraine, which, by the way, is strongly affecting the price of commodities, whether it's wheat or other things that they mine specifically in that country. There's a lot of hard minerals that come out of Ukraine, as well as Russia, being the oil and gas that they also export. What is going to happen with that? How is it going to affect price of bread on your table today and gas in your car tomorrow? And these things are unknown. We do not know. I can say just by looking at it, looks like this thing is going to last a long time. It's not going to be a quick thing. And what does that mean to you and your family and how you have to plan for the future? Does it mean you pull back on major expenses? This is what she and I talked about today, and I happen to agree with. We also looked at, obviously, the inflation in the U.S. Is inflation inevitable? Are people gouging? And is the price push to a higher and higher level, is it going to end anytime soon, even if the Fed raises interest rates? Now, the common misconception, and we talk about it every week, so if you're hearing it for the first time, just know that you can come back and hear it again. The Fed interest rate is not the mortgage interest rate. Again, the Fed interest rate is not the mortgage interest rate. So if you hear terms like, hey, the Fed's raising rates, and then in the same breath they talk about the rising mortgage interest rates, it's not the same thing. Matter of fact, sometimes when the Fed raises rates, mortgage interest rates go down. You just have to look at the 10-year bond, what we referred to earlier when we talked about the 2-year and the 10-year and how that portends or forward-looking, it may signal recession. In this, what we're looking for in the 10-year is when the 10-year goes up, that means we have to pay more in the yield. The yield, I think, is currently at 3.29, almost 3.3%. Now, 18 months ago, is it 0.63%? So it's gone up, well, you look at it, 4.5%. I mean, not 4.5%, 3% in the yield. That's a big number. But that is because we have to entice people to buy U.S. debt. We discount the bond, i.e. it doesn't cost you $100 for a bond. It costs you $98 for a bond. And we have to increase the yield so that you buy it. And this is all U.S. debt. As a result of that, as a result of rising bond yields, we have to raise the interest rate on mortgages. So the mortgage-backed securities and things that bundle up in order to replenish the supply of money has to yield somebody who's selling these bonds money. And that's only done when you raise the rates. So you have to raise your interest rates if your mortgage-backed, if your bond is also raising. So these things that we look at and these things that we try to get our arms around in talking to my friend out in the Inland Empire in Southern California, we've been through a couple of these things. 2008 was certainly nothing like this. We didn't have inflationary pressures. We had the reverse of that. We had deflationary pressures. We had bad loans. We had a lot of things going against what is currently a pretty good economy, other than inflation and cost of commodities rising and the uncertainty based on the both the inflation and the war. These things are different. So what is going to happen with the real estate market? Well, we've seen two things currently. So let's talk about the real estate market quickly. Now the housing market. This is how I've labeled this particular small segment. We see a rise, a slight rise, or a fall. What does that mean? Do we see a rise in the cost of real estate? We have. Do we see a slight rise in the future? Possibly. I'm not the only one looking at that. Or do we see a fall? There's a growing number of people who see in the distance and not too distant future a fall in real estate prices. There's a list out, and you can go anywhere you want. You can go to Housing Market. You can go to Yahoo. You can go to MSN and search for the article that talks about markets that real estate prices have fallen. We've even brought it on this show. There's a top 10 list, you know, the David Letterman top 10 list. Well, we got one too, and we had one on the show, and it also is in this article about, yeah, in certain cities, real estate prices have fallen. They are rising in some areas. There is still competition for housing. There is still competition for properties that are well-priced. And this is the key phrase that has been brought into the conversation just recently, within the last 30 days. If it's priced reasonably or if it's priced correctly. 6 months ago, it didn't matter what you priced the property at. They were going to go over asking anyway. Most properties were going $10,000 to $100,000 over asking 6 months ago. That's not the case today. That's a good thing for the market in that we need more affordable housing, but we also see a lack of inventory. Now, in some markets, we see more inventory. In some markets, we do see a slight increase in listings. But in the near future, what are we going to say? In 6 months, what are we going to see? And certainly a year from now, what are we going to see? And that's why when we talk about the housing market, is it going to rise, is it going to slightly rise, or is it going to fall, we're talking in terms of timetables. We talked somewhat about the shadow inventory of all those properties that were in foreclosure because of the COVID-related relief programs. Whatever happened to those properties? Don't know. Never came to market. We think that they're still struggling to keep these people in their houses, but there is at least a million houses out there that have not paid their mortgage in forever. What's happening with those? We're not quite sure with that either. So there's a lot of uncertainty going on in the market right now. Is this a good time to buy? Well, it's always a good time to buy if you're looking at a 30-year turnaround in terms of when you're going to sell or when you're waiting to pay off the mortgage. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. I wish I had more definitive news. We'll become more definitive in the next segment. How's that? Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. Check out our website at themortgagevoice.com. There you can find our latest on-demand episodes of The Mortgage Voice and information about our guests, as well as their contact information. So if you see somebody, you can go to themortgagevoice.com website, look up the person, and contact them. Very easy. You can also read the blog, which is my blog, of course, keeps you updated with the very latest mortgage news. Check it out and bookmark us. That's themortgagevoice.com. Okay, so every week we come to this section of the show, which I always like. We bring our first guest on, and they usually have way more information about what's happening in the mortgage market because they're dealing on a daily basis with not only borrowers but market conditions in a specific market. Joining us now is Cindy Bui. Cindy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how are you? Cindy is a great loan officer and a new mom and running a business and trying to raise a family at the same time. You're probably like a lot of people who are doing the same thing right now. How's it going?
It's going well. I'm still learning a system. She's still young, so right. I'm definitely kind of scrambled a little bit, but, you know, I don't turn down deals, so I make it happen.
Excellent. Let's talk a little bit about those deals. In this market where you have rising interest rates so fast, which really is been the fastest I've ever seen it, how are you able to originate? How are you able to find the best product for your clients?
Well, I mean, as you know, mainly the loans that I mainly do are either cash out refinances or purchases. So I've just been communicating with realtors, staying in touch with them, and how do I manage to get them a good loan?
Yes, ma'am. Good product, something that fits their, you know, what they need.
I just have to educate them that the rates are how they are. Unfortunately,
right.
I try to get them, you know, the best that I can, but the facts are that the rates are definitely higher than they were before.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay, so just run through a little scenario with me. Let's say I'm a borrower and I'm looking to get a loan, and you know, I'm so used to hearing loans are cheap and easy to get and the rates are low. When you approach somebody like me, what do you tell them? You just are, can you give me an example? Tell me what you'd tell them.
You know, I'm just, the way I keep it simple, I just tell them, yes, you know, unfortunately, the rates are not what they were before, and they probably won't be anytime soon. So the rate that I have will be higher. But I can, you know, assure you that what I'm, at least this is what I'm saying for myself, is what I will be able to offer you, probably very competitive compared to what others may be able to offer you. However, overall, it is higher than what the rates have been.
No, I like the competitive angle whereby, hey, look, not only are you going to get the best price from me versus another person, but we're all dealing with the same market. We're all dealing with rising interest rates. And getting a mortgage right now is really dependent not only on me and my skill, but also my ability to be able to go out there and get you the right loan product.
Correct.
So what are the loan products you're currently, offering to?
You know, it seems like because the rates are higher, some borrowers, unfortunately, I don't know, they don't qualify with income, and so I have been doing some bank statement loans.
Okay.
And I have been doing some DSCR loans.
Right.
But if not, then I still stick with the regular conventional and FHA loans. But if they don't qualify for those for any reason, I do turn to the non-QM and to see if they're able to qualify another route.
Right. Okay. So the non-QM sector, we talk a lot on the show about non-QM just simply because it's a different way to look at a borrower, and maybe the price might be higher, but the qualifying may be easier. Is that right?
That is correct. If they qualify, yes. I mean, for DSCR, definitely the qualifying is easy, but yes, the rate is higher. And I generally just have to educate them that it's expected because we're not qualifying the traditional way.
Do you see real estate prices? Do you see them continuing to escalate? Do you see it cooling somewhat? Do you see it falling? We have a discussion on the show all the time. So
I have been told that it's cooling off. My realtors. I mean, it's still hot, but it's just not that they've been telling me that homes have been sitting longer on the market. So it's still kind of new, so we haven't really seen prices drop just yet.
Right.
But they have been telling me that they've just kind of been sitting a little bit longer.
Do you see that there's
still sell fairly fast.
Right, okay. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is there a correlation between how long it sits before the price gets dropped? What's that formula?
I mean, I think it might just take a while until a lot of borrowers are not able to qualify for these home prices.
Right.
Because the rates are so high. And so it may take a little bit longer. Just since, I mean, the rates, they've been up for maybe a couple months, but, for it to affect the market, that's what I'm thinking. It might, take a little bit for that effect to be seen.
You know, I always look at it like about 6 months because sellers are stubborn, right? Yes, the market may be this and that. Yes, rates may be up, but my property is the best property in the world, so it will retain
Correct.
Its price. So in order to really change that, they have to feel the pain of having it not sell for a while and then blame the realtor, switch realtors, and then drop the price. That's usually what I see is the, so...
Yeah, it's very, very possible. And then they just have to compare to the other houses around.
Right.
And probably study the timeline of those properties as well to realize.
How do we deal with the appraisal issue when we're in this kind of an unsure market? Like, let's say in another couple, 3 months, properties are sitting, and then they finally get an offer. When an appraiser walks in, do they look at the future or where the market is headed, or are they just strictly look at appraisals about what is sold within the last 90 days?
I'm thinking that they will look at what's sold in the last 90 days, but knowing that the market also is kind of not in an increase as much, that they probably, I believe they take that into consideration as well.
I see. Okay. Crystal ball time. Do you see, where do you see rates heading? Do you think that we're going to finally be done with rising rates, or do you think they're still going to be going up? I mean, right now we're hovering in the low sixes for the 30-year fixed. Everything else is kind of in the fives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From what I hear, they may still continue to go up,
but I
can only see they can only go up so much before things get affected dramatically, and then they would have to go back down again. But I'm hearing that it's still going to continue to go up a little bit.
Right. How frustrated are your realtor friends?
They haven't really expressed too much. They just keep on going.
Right.
But they are saying that it's easier for them to sell houses to their buyers. It's becoming a little bit more easier.
There are less competition. Certainly the price
is... Just a little less competition. So if their borrower truly qualifies, they're having a little bit more success than before.
Yeah, I know. It's been such a very different market that we've had since COVID. Do you see COVID affecting the market at all anymore?
Do I see it affecting the market anymore? I don't think so.
No, I don't think
it affected it in a positive way, and that's it.
Right, I agree. Listen, I hear the little one in the background. How hard has it been to try to maintain a business when you're raising your baby?
Yeah, definitely not easy. I need to get a babysitter still.
I don't blame you. Listen, Cindy, could you shout out a way by which people can get a hold of a terrific loan officer yourself?
Yeah, sure. They can email me. My email is the number is 888homelending@gmail.com.
Excellent. Once again,
888homelending@gmail.com.
Excellent. Okay, Cindy, thanks very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I know you got your hands full, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
All right, Jeff, it's a pleasure.
Thank you very much. That's Cindy Bouie from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to the Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, me, is available on demand, on the air, anytime you need the latest mortgage information. You can find us immediately on YouTube. We upload the video version of the show every week. Just search for The Mortgage Voice. You can also listen to the show on demand on your mobile device via any of our podcast partners, Apple, Google, Spreaker, Podclips.io, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Plus, we're still available on traditional radio in any number of markets, including the Inland Empire, Southern California, Las Vegas, Nevada, Albuquerque, and Lake Tahoe. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice, and thanks for tuning in. Okay, so we bring to you great people every week, and this week is no exception. Livere Becerra has been on the show many, many times, and she brings with us not only a wealth of her mortgage, but also her real estate business, which in changing markets always becomes another great way that you can supplement your income. Livere, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. Thanks for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, and thank you for very, very much for coming on. Okay, changing market, rising rates. How's it affecting your business, and what are you doing about it, and how do you educate your clients that you can still afford a house? It just may be a little bit more expensive than you thought.
Yes, it's always the transition is always the hardest part because yep. You've quoted one rate, and by the time they get into a home and into escrow, it's different. So the first portion is, you're basically a firefighter. You just have to put out all the fires and try to, make sure you can still make it work for the clients. But, this changing market changed pretty quick.
Very quick.
It's very volatile. It's hard to determine. You saw the rates jumped from like a 1.5 points within a week and a half.
Unbelievable.
And then when the Fed, it was crazy. Never seen it like that in 21 years.
Right,
but when the Fed did raise it on Wednesday, I want to say of last week, it kind of stabilized it a little bit. I saw them drop at least almost 0.75 point. I guess it strengthened the bond market, and Wall Street went with it. So it's hard to predict right now which way it's going to go. But I mean, it'll go hand in hand. The rates will go up. Property values are decreasing. You're seeing it all over the place. It doesn't matter if you're a realtor or if you're just someone shopping online, looking at Zillow or Redfin or whatever. It's a price decrease. And it's just they're going to even each other out. Hopefully it won't be, if we go into double digits, I'm not sure how far it's going to have to drop, though. what do you think?
Well, let me ask you a question first. We're in the business, right? And we get asked questions like we're genies, like we have the answers. One of the questions I get asked all the time, and maybe you do too, is why?
What are rates going to be tomorrow?
Yeah, all the time. What's happening? Are rates going down? No, they're not going down. But what about next week? What happens if this happens? I'm like, I don't know. But the question I was going to ask you is that I get asked all the time is, not only, the rate question, absolutely, but why do they go down? Why do they go up? Why? What is causing them? And then I trot out my 10-year bond answer, and I trot out, the economies of the world and all the problems, and I just get a glazed look on people's eyes. They have no idea what I'm talking about. How do you handle that
exactly.
question?
Well, I don't even, because it's a whole nother language.
Right.
When I first started in this business 21 years ago, I first saw a rate sheet and I just almost walked out the door. I was like, I don't think I can do this.
Right.
But it's a whole nother language, and you just have to use layman terms and really, there's no way we can project this. If I could predict it, I would be like the richest person in the world, but I cannot predict anything. And we go with how the market takes us, wherever it takes us, and how it runs. And like I said earlier, it evens itself out. And at this point, they had to raise the rates. They had to. It was just not an option. And unfortunately, it didn't do anything for oil. I mean, if we can get oil to go back down, then maybe your food prices can go down and, products and whatnot. But at this point, in the real estate, as the prices decrease in real estate and the rates You know, honestly, I'll be honest, I'd rather pay a higher rate at $200,000 than a lower rate at $800,000.
No, I mean, makes total sense. Explain that again for people, because I think they missed it.
Because, you know, it's easier to pay a house that's $200,000 at 10% than an $800,000 house at 2.5% or 3%. I mean, if the market drops and there's, you know, a recession and people lose jobs, how do you pay that $800,000 house? You can get a modification on $200,000, a lot better payment than an $800,000. You might have to just walk away from the $800,000.
So what you're saying is we need something to drop real estate prices.
Exactly. So even if the rates go up,
right,
the prices will come down. They'll still be able to buy, you know, and as they go down, they'll still be able to qualify. So I don't think it's a case for worry. I think we just have to go. We have to ride the wave.
Yeah, well, as professionals, we kind of understand what happens in the markets. But if you're, you know, you just got married, you got maybe a kid on the way, and, you know, you're both working, and you're trying to figure out where you're going to live. I mean, it's not an easy decision to buy or not to buy, especially if you need something right now. Rental prices are really high still. It's just one of those things where we as professionals, we kind of understand it. But when you're in it, you don't know. So when you get approached by these types of borrowers, what do you tell them?
Well, you know, anyone who's in an escrow is stressed to the hilt. You know, it doesn't matter if it's an easy one or a difficult one. They're stressed, and I just tell them, you know, this is how I live.
Right.
I live day in and day out. You need to trust me, and you know what? Let me take care of everything. And I try to minimize the, you know, whatever happens. You know, any adversities that happen during the transaction. So I know, as a good salesperson should, you take the brunt and you make sure to make it an easy. Transaction for your borrowers or your buyers or your sellers, whatever it is that I'm working on. But that's all you can do.
Okay, so product-wise, what is the popular loan product? Is it still in the 30-year fixed with the W-2 borrower? Is it the non-QM with the bank statement, DSCR? What's going on with loan products?
You know, I have them all over the place.
Okay.
I still have a 30-year fixed. I'm still doing the bank statement loans. You know, crazy as it is, the bank statement loans actually are at par pricing with the 30-year fixed right now.
Wow.
Of course, those are borrower-paid commissions instead of lender-paid, which they can understand that right now. But pretty much you can get the same rate. And the SDR, of course, you know, that's always a good one for investors.
Sure.
You know, it's just basically based on the rentals of the property. You don't have to show any other documentation. And that's always a good one. But the bank statements are amazing for self-employed borrowers. They have a lot of deposits. And those deposits, they're able to use those as income. And so those are always, right now, I honestly, across the board, I have some of all of them right now. It's not anything of it, any which one.
Okay, so you've been around a long time. You do have a lot of loans that flow through your system. The trend of more down payment, less down payment, are we going back to FHA market because of the rise in interest rates? What do you think?
You know, surprisingly enough, during COVID and people buying and I saw a lot of people with money prior to where
right. You
wouldn't see as much. And I was like, wow, everybody's got money now. Everybody's got these hefty savings and they're putting lots of money down. So I don't know if it was just a change where it's like, you know, people were saying, let's just do it now, you know, let's buy. You know,
right.
So I haven't seen as much, you know, and even if they don't have a huge, you have a good FICO score. 10% down, that's not, you know, a huge chunk, but even 5% down, your mortgage insurance is going to be less than you have on an FHA loan. For
that's
FHA,
true.
I reserve those for people with lower scores or someone who needs extra debt-to-income ratio to qualify. But other than that, you know, conventional is still the way to go for someone with a good FICO and 5-10% down.
Yeah, I agree with you. Listen, we're up against it. Can you shout out a way by which people can get a hold of you?
Sure. My name is Lavera Becerra. My cell phone is 626-712-9920. You can call me Liv because Lavera is kind of hard to remember to live. So LIV 626-712-9920. I do real estate and mortgage, and it's really easy for me because I can always qualify my clients before they make sure that they qualify, and it just makes it simple for me. But yeah, give me a call.
Excellent. Thank you, Lavera, very much for coming on the show once again. Good talk, good education, and the market's changing, so we'll have you back soon.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you very much. That's Lavera Becerra. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. Each and every week, we bring to you great guests, people on the show. And if you want to see those guests after the show, you can go to two places. One, themortgagevoice.com. That's our website. If you do go there, click on that you like it, join up. We can get you alerts about future shows and what's happening. Also, we're on YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice on YouTube. Hundreds of shows, 8-9 years worth of shows there. We have any number of guests and topics that probably are of interest. Market changes all the time. And the only place to get updated information is here on The Mortgage Voice. So make sure you tune in or check out those other two places I told you to go. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. Thanks very much for tuning in. This is The Mortgage Voice. Okay, Chris is with us today. Chris Groves, who's from Groves Capital. Great company, good people. They do a lot of loans. They're a bigger company than a lot of companies that we have on. And joining us is the boss, Chris Groves. Chris, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much as well. Okay, give us your overview of what's happening in the market and how you're dealing with it at the office.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the market has changed dramatically from the last 2 years of the slam dunks we've had, which, you know, obviously we all took liberty of that, and now it's about pivoting into different things to keep us moving, right? So as far as the rates, I mean, we're seeing rates are going to stay pretty consistent where they've been at now for the next year or two, so we're, you know, anywhere from 5-7% is our new reality. But the way I look at it like this, I told my loan officers, if we kept interest rates at 3% for the next 10 years, you wouldn't have a job.
Right.
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 So from a loan officer point of view, we need these tick up for a tick down to happen to have a refinance boom happen. So, you know, that's the way business has to work for us to have a job moving forward. So the next few years, it's going to be focusing more on purchase business, right? For the loan officers that haven't been focusing in on that, that's going to be, you know, it's going to be a big issue. It's building relationships, having those referrals. I think, obviously, purchase business is going to be hot, but we know there's not much inventory out there due to supply and demand change. So where else are you going to pivot? I think non-QM is a hot sector right now, and that's what we've been working on exclusively at Groves. A lot of DCSR programs, commercial and even reverse, and the non-QM sector has been our main focus because it's solution-based, and we're seeing most of our business right now coming from the investors, because investors don't care as much about rates as the normal, residential home buyer, right? Because
right.
At the end of the day, they know that all these people that are scared about buying are going to be renting from them. So that's been my pivot in this marketplace for my people as well, is focusing more on the investors that, you know, that are picking up products left and right because they see the good deal and they know it's a long play, which they're always going to come out on top by owning real estate. So I think a lot of people are holding back, thinking this is a bubble. I don't believe it is a bubble at this point. And we're not going to go through what we happened in 08 because we're in the lending business. We know how regulated it is now as far
right.
as, you know, double checking and triple checking will work. So I think at this point, just pivoting into the products that most people don't have solutions to, and it's not easy lending. It's creative lending these days, and not seeing things just from one point of view, but finding solutions for your borrowers to make money for your family.
No, I like that, your explanation about the market, and also specifically how you have to have loan officers who are willing and also have the knowledge to go out there and find a loan product that really fits what the customer's needs are. We are seeing tons of layoffs all over in terms of, you know, from Wells Fargo down to even the smallest people, how are you handling that side of the business, which is the human resource side? Are you hiring? Are you firing? What are you doing?
We're showing a growth pattern at Groves. We built a different kind of, like, more of a franchise platform, so people run businesses with us on our platform. So, you know, we're still growing in this environment, still looking for quality people, and, you know, our mindset has never been an employee model. It's more to run a business more efficiently. So most people, you know, run businesses with us and come to us for the solutions that most lenders don't have at this marketplace. So that's what we're focusing on, is just there's a lot of products out there. A lot of people just don't pay attention to them. We're focusing on what's going to sell right now. Like I tell my people, it's like, listen, if you've been driving around a Honda for the last 2 years because it's cheap and that's what you've been selling, that's great. Hondas are out of stock right now. Now you're selling BMW and Porsches. They're still cars. They're higher priced, but that's what we have. That's what you're selling. So that's how we're pivoting.
No, that's great. I think process is really the biggest cost savings that came about during COVID. There was so much volume that people became real good at doing volume. Do you find that now that we've had somewhat of a slowdown, and we may even continue to get a slowdown, that those processes put in place during COVID will change? Or do you think the technology and everything else will continue to be the driver in lowering costs overall?
I mean, as far as technology, meaning what? What do you mean by technology?
In the loan origination or in underwriting, because a lot of lenders have, you know, during non-QM or with non-QM, it's more of a manual overwrite, but really the cost savings are in technology. So,
yeah, I mean technology is going to be key to making things more efficiently, effectively. I brought underwriters, with me at Grove to this point for the non-QM stuff especially, so now I have underwriters on staff to help my team,
right,
you know, get those loans to the finish line. Because once again, it comes to having a watchful eye and solutions and someone that's creative that can move around things in a compliant way to get that client an option or an opportunity. So, like I said, I think there's plenty of opportunity out there. Even my personal business, I haven't slowed down. If anything, I'm busier than I've ever been. But because I've pivoted hard with the commercial and the DSCRs, and that's what I sell everywhere I go, I've never turned on leads in the day of my life. It's just network, tell people what we do, follow through, get into the close, and make people feel, you know, happy to work with you. So solutions is the key, and getting in front of those products that you may not feel so comfortable with is the what you need to be doing with your time. If you're slowed down right now, which a lot of people are, fine. So use that time to better yourself on the knowledge base of product programs that you may not feel so confident with, so you can be, so you can get in front of those people and find solutions to make money as well. So they're out there. It's just people got lazy, right? It was just an easy slam dunk. And during 2 years, we had so many refinances. People were like, well, I didn't focus on my purchase, or I didn't focus on my relationships. And I told them, like, it's going to happen. It's going to slow down. If you're not focusing on it, then you're going to get to that point where you're switching careers because you didn't do what is necessary.
No, I agree. I think what we saw in 08, those of us that went through that, and even earlier times, is that the market changes and can change rather quickly. It has just changed within the last 6 months almost upside down. We went from a very low interest rate environment to a very high interest rate environment in comparison. Not having the ability to go out there and reach and touch people and just sitting behind your desk has never been the way to do it. A lot of those companies won't be around. And as I tell the people that work for Malibu Funding, the company that I work for, I say, look, this is a business whereby you not only have to be product knowledge, you also have to be people knowledge. So going out there and getting involved with this chain of information that you can provide is really the solution solver. That's what we got in business to do. Anybody can write a loan. Any butcher can cut a piece of meat. But if you really are careful and really knowledgeable about what you're doing to the customer, that's when you're bringing real value to them. And those kind of people, they're really the ones that last.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for me, I almost look at it as a benefit to kind of clear up all the loan officers that joined us in the industry. You know, when things were easy because they came here, like, hey, I'm making a lot of money. All my friends are making money, and it was easy. And now what are they doing to people like me and you, or the people that, you know, actually do this for a living and take it serious? They're just adding competition to the water that we don't need. So if you're not serious about the business, get out and let the real loan officers and companies do what they need to do to make money. If you're not taking it serious and taking time to research these products, know these products, and help your clients, then this is the wrong business for you. You know, leave it to the professionals that are doing it.
Agree, 100%. Okay, let's get your prognostication hat on. Interest rates, where are they going to be heading? You said 5 to 7%. You think that's the way it's going to be, at least now for the next couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, everything I've been, as far as market research, I think it's going to stay between 5 and 7 for the next 2 years. And then, we're seeing a lot of predictions in 2025. We're going to see a refinance, boom during that time, right? So the next 2 years, everyone that's purchasing right now, in this marketplace, those are going to be your clients for future refinances.
Yep.
So, any client you're closing now, what does that mean? You stay in contact with them. You stay friends with them. You follow up with them because those clients are going to be coming back to you if they remember you. If they don't remember you, they're not. So this is a time to build referrals with your network, with realtors, get solution lending. There's a lot of lending options out there. A lot of people are not, trying to keep up with cash offers.
Right.
There's a lot of unique products a lot of people don't know. So you can get in front of those realtors by being creative, by giving solutions and helping those clients and making the real estate agent look like an all-star, get to close, get that client happy, and that's how you're going to get referrals on the side. So that's the key to success at this point, just, getting in there, doing your job, doing the best job possible, and getting that referral.
In your job as the boss, do you see yourself more of a cheerleader or a teacher?
Me personally, obviously, a little bit both. I'm definitely the hype guy. I'm high energy all day long. My I see things from a perspective of opportunity at all times. I'm not one of those people that get glam and like, oh God, the market's this.
Right.
It's opportunity.
Right.
I look at life and I look at business as this. Regardless of what happens in the economic environment, the president, whatever it is, I'm still going to make the most money possible in the environment that I have. I'm going to make the best of any opportunity that I have, regardless of it. I don't complain about those things because I can't control those things. What I can control is where I'm putting my time, my effort, and now I'm going to put into different things that are going to make money for my family, my team. That's the bottom line.
Excellent. Hey, Chris, could you shout out a way by which people can get a hold of you, especially somebody who's listening to this show going, wow, I want this guy working for me?
Yeah, GroveCapital.com, and then my cell is 619-519-4453 or GroveCapital.com. We're all over the internet, and we're here to help you with all your needs.
Chris, thanks very much for coming on the show. Always enjoy the conversation. You're a really upbeat guy, and that's really what's needed right now, and I appreciate that.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you very much. That's Chris Groves from Groves Capital. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Our show is available on demand. Any information you need right away, especially if you need this information right away to fit your busy schedule. Make it easy to watch or listen to the show. Find our episodes on demand from our website at themortgagevoice.com. We're also on SoundCloud at The Mortgage Voice. And our Mortgage Minute and weekly programs are always available at YouTube. Go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. In podcast form, wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podclips.io, Spotify, and more. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice, thanks for listening to the show. Okay, let's get right to our news to use section. Rates, as everybody knows, are continuing to go up. We get a reprieve every now and again, like the stock market, and we're looking to see where the bottom is, and us, like millions of other people who are, have their money wrapped up in the stock market. Yeah, they want to see it end as quickly as possible. We've already lost 5,000 trillions of dollars in terms of investment and certainly your own portfolio. But if you don't need the money today, you're probably going to be okay because as these things go, it does circle back. However, let's get into the mortgage interest rates. Where are we today? 6.07 is the 30-year fixed. 5.44 is the 15-year. 5.58 is FHA. 5.15 is the jumbo. And the 5.38 is the 5/1 ARM. As I said earlier in the show, the 2-year is at 3.2% yields, and the 10-year is at 3.29%. As you can see, the flattening of that yield curve, and we always look to the flattening or the inversion of the yield curve as a signal of possible recessionary pressures, recession coming, So if you're looking for a recession, let's give out some numbers. 12 to 18 months, that's what a lot of the economists are looking at. Anybody who's looking at recession, if you talk to Larry Summers, if you listen to Larry Summers, and he is the ex-Treasury Secretary, worked for a number of administrations, smart guy, conservative guy, but is a lot of times contrarian to what they're saying at the Fed, at least this particular Fed. The Fed is saying that we possibly could stall or stave off any recession, as the president also has said that, although I don't know if any president has a clue economically what's happening, whether it be the current president, the past president, or any number of the presidents. They usually look to either the Fed or the Treasury to come up with that. Janet Yellen has said the same thing, so we'll see. We'll just, you know, it's one of those things. But for my money, if it is a recession, 12 to 18 months from today. A couple other things in the news to use section. Sale of previously owned homes down 3.4%. Fourth monthly decline in a row. Now, what does that mean? It means that interest rates rising are taking a bite out of the number of people buying houses. And the number of days on market in some markets has really increased dramatically, as has the inventory. But at the same time, in some markets, hasn't really increased at all. It's actually decreased in terms of the amount on. It's really market-specific. Give us a call. Susie Orman. Everybody knows who Susie is. Prices will still go up 5 to 7% on your home. That's what she says. Now, she's got, you know, national audience, and when she says something, a lot of people listen. I don't know, 5 to 7%? Yeah, that's what they've been saying all year. But we've been so wrong about what's going on in the economy. We've been so wrong about how we predicted, whether it's inflation, whether it's what's happening in Ukraine. So I'm not altogether confident 5 to 7% going up this year is accurate. We'll have to wait and see. I could see easily this market bottoming quickly. I could see easily not enough buyers showing up, and that sellers have to reprice to the lower the sale of their property on listings. Also, median home price went up to $407,600. That's a record in the U.S. Median, of course, is the actual middle of sales above, sales below. The median is that number, and it's never had a 400 in front of it, and it reached that this week. So that's a big deal, 407,000. If the market you're in is below that number, obviously there's some opportunities to buy. If it's above that number, that's where a lot of markets are, especially where I live in Southern California. But where you live, whether it's in Albuquerque, which, by the way, their particular median price is up to around 350,000 too. We had great guests on the other day talking about Albuquerque market and what's going on down there. And we always talk about Las Vegas. Why? Because, you know, it's the city. One of the things in Las Vegas that they worry about that we don't worry about in a lot of different places is water. There is none out there. And where is it going? I don't know if you've seen the pictures of the Colorado River or pictures of Lake Mead. It's a problem. Now, in Southern California, in all of California, we have the biggest resource of water available, but they still have yet to come up with a comprehensive plan how to tap in and desal in order to make it economically viable. They still, for some reason, are not doing that. Matter of fact, during, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, we had a drought, another drought here in California, Southern California, and the state actually prevented San Diego, which has their own desal plant and can desal for the entire county. They prevented them from actually doing that, which makes no sense to me. But again, it's government. What do you expect? Okay, so cash sales, 25% of all sales in the market are cash sales. That's still an amazing number when you think about it. If we're going to have 1.52 million existing homes sold this year, 25% of them, well, that's, you know, 350,000, 400,000 homes being sold, all cash. And it's still amazing. Now, one of the things that we've always had a problem with, especially in turning markets, which this one is, many, many real estate companies, many individual real estate agents want to keep the commission in-house or to themselves, so we don't get an immediate sale, immediate information priced on the market for a property that's come on the market. Now, the Code of Ethics for the National Association of Realtors has tried to deal with this many, many times by making it a penalty that you have to pay money, or making it a real problem if you do something like hold back or have pocket listings or any of these other tricks of the trade that real estate agents, real estate companies use to try to keep that money, the real estate commission, within the real estate agent themselves or within the actual company. But that is happening. It happens a lot. So if you know people who are listers in your market and you're looking for a house, go to them, ask them, see if they've got off-market listings. Because I think with this number of 25% cash sales, it tells you that there's a lot of sales being done that aren't reported to the NMLS, or the MLS, not NMLS. Okay, so a couple things. We talked a lot about China and how China affects the U.S. market. Certainly many things, probably most things that are made and consumed in the U.S. are made or assembled or in some form, way, shape, or form, a Chinese origin. So what happens there really affects a lot of the supply. I hate these terms because they really, what do they actually mean? If you're buying something that is made in China, it's hard to get here if, in fact, the transportation chain from ships to train cars to whatever else gets you the product slows down. In China, there have been major disruptions to that particular transportation chain because of COVID, and their lockdown is 100% and it's ironclad. If you have a certain number of cases, you're shut down. So we've seen that happen in Shanghai, we've seen it happen in Beijing, and certainly many other of the smaller cities. Now, by the way, China has 100 cities over a million people in it. That's a lot of people. So being that as it way, I look back into what's happening in their real estate sector, which, as everybody knows, we had heard much about what was happening implosion-wise from bond markets that Chinese companies that were building a lot, the Chinese economy, 25% of it is in real estate. And we've had a pullback in Chinese buyers in that real estate market simply because not only COVID, but they overbuilt. And so there's not enough demand. And so in response to that, the Chinese government has cut interest rates, has made money more available so that people are incentivized to go out and buy. But the bonds that they use to in order to develop properties are being defaulted on. And it's 20 to 30% of manufacturing orders are now down in China, which is another problem based on both the supply chain, which really means that what's happening with U.S. and the interest rates going up at the Fed and the mortgage interest rates going up, it is killing demand. And how does this affect the U.S. market? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But how China go, we're so intricately intertwined with their economy. We're a consumer economy. They are a manufacturing economy, agrarian economy, switching to a consumer-based economy. We're in need of what they produce. But when they don't produce or it doesn't get here, the cost of products go up. Now, whether that's by design or whether that's just because, that's a real issue. So I wanted to bring up the Chinese issue. Okay, one more thing. While the West tightens, Chinese doesn't. And that's just the opposite of what we're doing here in interest rate hikes and in Europe and in some of the developing parts of the world. They're not doing that in China, and it's because of the constraints they have in the real estate bond section. This is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.